WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Early voting in Virginia ends Saturday, and Election Day is Tuesday. So we explore the security of ballot drop boxes, and whether claims of non-citizen voting are valid. Donald Trump pays a visit to Southwest Virginia, and Jeff Shapiro takes one final look at the political landscape before the election. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, November 1st. Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Time to turn our clocks back. That officially happens at 2 a.m. Sunday, November 3rd. But most of us will fall back 1 hour before going to bed Saturday night. Early voting in Virginia ends Saturday. Polling stations across the Commonwealth will be open until 5 p.m. to receive ballots. Eligible Virginians who are not registered to vote may same-day register at their voting location and cast a provisional ballot. Election Day is Tuesday. Visit elections.virginia.gov for more information. Across Virginia, voters are putting their ballots in drop boxes. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has this look at drop box security.
The next time you see a ballot drop box, take a moment to read the language on the side of it.
It does have language on it that indicates tampering with the drop box is a felony.
That's Alexandria Registrar Angie Maniglia-Turner, who says ballot drop boxes in Virginia have several layers of security.
Those are under video surveillance 24 hours a day. Those have to be emptied on every 24 hours, you mean so on a daily basis.
In Charlottesville, election officials empty their drop box several times a day, and the video surveillance remains available well after the election. Here's General Registrar Taylor Yowell.
We keep it on a retention period of actually 2 years. So that way we could go back, review anything. If something were to happen, we would have live feed and live footage of what actually is happening in that moment. It would also give us the opportunity to get in contact and track down the voters who had cast their ballots through the drop box as well.
Election officials in Oregon and Washington are responding to incidents where ballots inside drop boxes were set on fire. So far, nothing like that has happened at any of Virginia's drop boxes. I'm Michael Pope.
Former President Donald Trump is headed to Virginia Saturday for a rally in Salem, 3 days before the election. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd spoke with political analyst Karen Holt, who says Trump probably hopes the move will boost Republican turnout for congressional races.
Karen Holt is a professor of political science at Virginia Tech. She says Western Virginia is a ruby red part of the state, meaning it typically swings towards the right, with some exceptions. This is likely why Donald Trump picked this part of Virginia.
So part of it could be simply, though he may not win Virginia's Electoral College votes, it may well boost Republican turnout,
which could add momentum for some of the Republicans running for Congress and the Senate race between incumbent Tim Kaine and Hung Cow. Holt also thinks Trump may use the rally to shine a light on Governor Youngkin's voter registration purge, which made headlines this week when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the state could continue removing suspected non-citizen registrations. And while polls show Kamala Harris leading Trump in Virginia, Holt says she's cautious about predicting how voters in the Commonwealth will vote next Tuesday.
I'd also say we've not seen the Trump private polling. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be very different from the polls the rest of us have access to, but sometimes they are, and so we don't know about that either.
Holt also points out that voters in two swing states, Pennsylvania and North Carolina, may also make the drive to see Trump in Salem Saturday. In Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
Well, as the 2024 presidential election nears, Republicans have stoked fears of voter fraud and voting by non-citizens. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner found proof of such claims in the Commonwealth is rare at best.
According to hundreds of Virginia state court cases reviewed by Radio IQ, confirmed cases of non-citizen voting don't exist. But that hasn't stopped such rhetoric from popping up during this year's election cycle in Virginia.
Just last year, we removed nearly 80,000 deceased voters from our rolls. And shockingly, we also identified over 6,300 individuals without U.S. citizenship also on our Virginia voter rolls. They have also been removed.
That's Virginia Attorney General Jason Miaris in a video posted to social media in August. Those 6,300 non-citizens were found over the course of the last 2.5 years, but such removals aren't uncommon. In 2020, Virginia removed about 800 non-citizens from the rolls, and about 500 were removed in 2019. Miaris didn't mention the number of non-citizens actually voting in his video, but Mohammed Gula with the Virginia Coalition of Immigrant Rights argues such omission is done on purpose.
All over the country, people who want to create confusion and sow the seeds of doubt in the integrity of our electoral system are hiding behind false fears and overhyped claims about voter fraud.
Gula's group is behind the lawsuit against Governor Glenn Youngkin's recent voter purge targeting alleged non-citizens. But Radio IQ's review of over 650 cases of election-related crimes in Virginia's state court system over the last 20 years found no instance of a non-citizen actually being convicted of voting illegally. Not all court documents were available, but one instance confirmed through the Virginia Court of Appeals involved a non-citizen registering. It was part of a larger alleged false identity scheme, but there's no mention of the defendant who was technically eligible for United States citizenship attempting to vote, and the conviction was eventually overturned. At a September meeting of the Virginia House Privileges and Elections Committee, Delegate Sia Price asked Susan Beals, Commissioner of the State's Department of Elections, if her agency was aware of any voter fraud.
Do you have any actual statistics on Virginia's incidence of voter fraud, whether it's specific to someone that might have been registered because of their interaction with DMV, that it actually translated to a vote?
That is a complicated question, Madam Chair.
This highlights a breakdown in the process. Beals said her agency doesn't track cases of voter fraud because it's not their job.
We are not an investigative body. We are not a law enforcement organization.
Hans von Spakovsky runs the Conservative Heritage Foundation's Election Law Reform Initiative. He's among critics who say records like those flagged by the Department of Motor Vehicles are proof of a larger problem.
So what, there were 11,000 aliens removed from the rolls. You know, Virginia is really big. We've got, 6 million registered voters in the state. And I remind them that, was it 2017? Control of the state house came down to one race that was tied.
Aaron Reichlin Melnick is senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. He also tracks cases of non-citizen voting like Spakovsky at Heritage, but he says the lack of prosecutions suggests concerns are overblown.
It's usually people with green cards who have made paperwork errors or simply signed a piece of paper, not realizing what it actually said, and have unfortunately broken the law in doing so.
John Cano, an immigrant advocate with Virginia's Legal Aid Justice Center, thinks he knows why non-citizens, even those who may have been accidentally registered to vote, don't get wrapped up in violating election laws. He gives this warning during workshops for those seeking citizenship.
Always do your taxes, right? Always file for I-10. Don't commit any crimes. And what does that mean? Don't, you know, do fraudulent claims. And it's a fraudulent claim to say you're registered and eligible to vote.
Voting when you're not supposed to also leaves a paper trail, something Kano said further dissuades would-be citizens from voting illegally. And considering the threat of criminal prosecution, Logan Churchwell with the Public Interest Legal Foundation argues there's another way to look at alleged non-citizen voters.
They're victims largely, that they're stuck between old law, old process, and people that have to enforce it that don't want to because it's not their main job anyway.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Well, it's our last chance to get some analysis of all this from Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joining Michael Pope to recap the week in politics and state government.
Election Day is almost here, so we've got a lot to get through, starting with this ruling from the United States Supreme Court that lets Governor Glenn Youngkin's voter purge continue, despite concerns raised by that federal judge in Alexandria that eligible voters are being kicked off the list. Jeff Shapiro, we have zero prosecutions of anybody who is accused of voting while being an undocumented immigrant, and yet they're kicking off hundreds of eligible voters off the rolls. How does this work?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a role reversal going on here. The Democrats are saying that, you know, Youngkin and the Republicans are essentially cheating. This sounds very Trump-like, don't you think? The governor, meanwhile, is sticking with what is clearly his MAGA shtick, that this is all about preserving, protecting the sanctity of the electoral process. The Justice Department, in this lawsuit against the governor, wanted 1,600 people restored to the voting rolls. Any number of whom, and this was all well documented, had said they are indeed citizens, and because of some paperwork or bureaucratic error, that they had been removed from the rolls. This is not a point on which the governor chooses to dwell, but this is clearly something that, shall we say, will spotlight his MAGA bona fides going forward.
And I'm wondering about the last round of polling heading into Election Day. If you take them all as an aggregate, they basically show that Harris is up anywhere between 6 points and 8 points. Do you think that's going to be accurate when the votes are counted?
The handicappers at 538 are predicting that this is going to be a 6 to 8 percentage point win in Virginia for Harris. Remember, Joe Biden carried the state by 10 percentage points 4 years ago. There seems to be an argument, even by Democrats, that perhaps Biden overperformed here. But of course, this is not discouraging the Republicans that Virginia would remain blue as it has been at the presidential level since 2008. On Saturday, Donald Trump's going to be in Salem outside of Roanoke, sort of the gateway to the far western, very red recesses of Virginia, trying to pump up the vote.
And then three congressional districts listeners will want to watch on election night. Two in Northern Virginia, where Democrats are trying to hold on to their existing seats in Virginia 7 and Virginia 10. And then the big one in Virginia Beach, where Democrats are trying to flip the second congressional district. What's going to happen with these races?
Yeah, now the Democrats are anticipated, and I choose my words carefully, to easily carry the 10th district, which is largely Loudoun County based. The 7th district, this is the seat that Abigail Spanberger is giving up to run for governor, that could be a nail biter. What will probably decide that election will be the usually big blue vote out of Prince William County, city of Fredericksburg, and part of Stafford. But the really close race, the one that everyone is watching, and I mean that includes national handicappers, is that coastal Virginia seat, the second congressional district. This is a swingy district, and the Republicans are certainly signaling that it could decide whether they are still in control of the House, and witness the Election Eve appearances that will be made down there by the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson from Louisiana, paired with two Virginia Beach guys, Glenn Youngkin, the governor, and Jason Mieres, the attorney general.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'll talk to you after the polls close on Tuesday.
See you then.
Today is the first day of open enrollment for Virginia's insurance marketplace. U.S. citizens living in the Commonwealth who are uninsured, self-employed, or have jobs that don't provide insurance may qualify for coverage through the state's insurance exchange. More than 400,000 Virginians have enrolled in coverage since last year's launch. The sign-up period runs through January 15th. Visit marketplace.virginia.gov to learn more. Virginia is launching a new resource for adults struggling with substance use disorders. The Virginia Mercury reports that the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Services is launching the Adult Psychiatric Access Line, or APAL. Primary care providers can use the program to help them access resources and mental health professionals or social workers that specialize in addiction. Finally today, Virginia's public colleges are now prohibited from giving preferential treatment to students with legacy connections when making admissions decisions. This fall's enrolling freshmen are the first students impacted by the new state law. Megan Pauley with VPM News reports.
Schools like the Virginia Military Institute, the University of Virginia, and William & Mary aren't seeing a big shift in the percentage of legacy students who've enrolled this fall, even after making some changes. Here's Tim Wolf, Dean of Admissions at William & Mary.
We don't expect this to have much impact at all on what we see play out.
He says that's in part because legacy applicants are more likely to visit campus or do interviews, which are factors the school considers in admissions. And while colleges are no longer looking at a checkbox in which legacies can self-identify, they may have essays in which the issue can be touched upon. The University of Virginia added one such optional essay last year, though Dean of Admissions Gregory Roberts says it's not enough for applicants to simply state their legacy connection. They also have to explain how it impacts their unique ability to contribute to the school.
Megan Pauley reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.